The Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to start off our worship here with song number 684. This world is not my home,
I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open. Up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand, Christ shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Our God, the Most High and Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for this opportunity to come together midweek to study your word. The Heavenly Father, we have so many blessings in this life. We're so thankful to you for those. We give you the praise and the glory. You are the creator of all. Heavenly Father, as we gather this evening, we humbly come before you, praying that you'll be among us as we enter into this period of study. We pray that we as listeners and as students will have open hearts and open minds to receive your word, Heavenly Father. We also pray for our teachers, Lord. We're thankful for them. Now be with us through this period of study. Watch over us, Father. Be with us. We offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
See everyone out this evening. Do appreciate Brother Warren's prayer just a moment ago. We're in 1 John chapter 5. In verse 1, we'll go through. We won't go through, hopefully, this whole chapter tonight. But I'll have to be the first one to admit there's a couple of verses in the bottom part of this chapter that I'm still trying to get a handle on. Okay? That is verse 16 and 17, as far as that. So if we get that far, then we'll be doing okay. But we're going to spend the first part of this class up in the first several verses. We'll start in the back. I love the kids. I really do. Start in the back with Andrew. Let's read verses 1 through 4, a couple of verses apiece, and then we'll start from there.
Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and observe his commandments.
For this is
love of God that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
All right, a lot of good information, a lot of teachings in these first four verses. For instance, we haven't talked about belief. What is it?
Belief in Christ.
Belief in Christ? Okay. How do you, would you be able to define it?
Hebrews 11:1, right, Mark, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Okay, that's one verse. How important is belief in our salvation?
Second step.
Okay, okay, give me a verse or verses.
Okay, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Okay, let's go there. That's the one that we normally will go to, and I was looking at that just a few minutes ago. And if we dissect it, okay, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Okay, we got the gospel right, the good news. Look at verse 16. Kind of an action verse. He who has belief has belief. Okay. We've got to have that belief. And here's that conjunction. Has been baptized. If you believe, have believed, have been baptized, what's the result?
Salvation.
Okay. So you can't have miss one of those and still be saved, right? Did I say that right? You just can't believe and not be baptized and think, hey, I'm saved. We have to look at that. What else? I got a few more verses other than that. Nikki.
John 8:24.
All right. On the same wavelength. This is pretty good again. John 8:24. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins unless you believe what? That I am he. You will die in your sins. Okay, so we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, Molly.
I have another verse.
Okay.
Well, belief, you know, you have to go to the way of belief comes from. In Romans 10:17, it comes from hearing the word of God. It's not just belief in whatever you make up.
Romans 10:17 also got another verse in that chapter. Okay. We're going to talk about faith tonight, too. So faith comes by hearing here by the word of God. Go with the verse number 9. You want the plan of salvation, look at verse 9. What are we to do? Take verse 9, 10, 17. Verse 9 says what? Yep. Catch that? So we got to confess that Jesus is the Lord. We got to believe in our heart that he was raised, that God raised him. Verse 10, with the heart the person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And you go down to verse 17, so in a nutshell. Y'all are doing good. Keep going. What else? What other scriptures?
As anybody said, Hebrews 11:6.
Oh, I see why.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yeah. You get the importance of what belief has in salvation? Go to Luke, and here's what Jesus had to say as far as the parable that he taught. We have Luke 8:12-15. You look at it and said, oh, that's, you know, the parable of the souls. And how, you know, some fell on this ground, and some fell on that ground, and some, but, and look, verse 12, those beside the road are those who heard, and the devil comes, takes away the word from their hearts, so they will not believe and be saved. Put the emphasis on the soil, which is good, but what's the result of that? Okay, go down to the next one, the stony ground. Now, they hear the word, they receive it with joy. They have no firm root. What about their belief? They believe for a little while, and then... Then those on the thorns. They heard, they go on their way as they were choked with worries and riches and pleasures of life. Again, very little belief, and then of course, the good soul, it takes root and matures. And so I thought that was interesting. You know, we keep talking about the souls in this parable, but it's a belief level, is it not? Okay. Can we logically say that one can be a good soul that can turn bad? One can have a strong faith, a strong belief, and turn.
It can be poisoned. It can be poisoned.
Yep. This thing about falling from grace. Yeah, we fall. Also, those on the wayside soul or whatever, you know, that's taken it and kind of died off or whatever, they can be cultivated into good, can they not? Yeah, good soul can turn bad soul can turn good. Good to life. Yeah, yeah. I followed you, man.
But can't that be like serving two masters? I mean,
yep, you gotta choose one.
Well, most of them could tend to choose one, but they use the other.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, we're done John 8:24. Oh, John 17. John 17. Jump in with comments. Said before, more wisdom out there than is up here. John 17, 20-21. Next reader. Where we ask Starkeith. 17:20-21.
What was it again?
John 17:20-21.
All right. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That they all may be one, as you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, the world may believe that you sent me.
And 2 points. One, what about our belief? Did Jesus pray? Remember, where is Jesus at this point? John 17.
He's going to be
Garden of Gethsemane, right? You know, set up, he's got the 11. Took the other three and he went on further. This is his prayer. Okay. There in the garden. So he's praying for us 2,000 some odd years in the future about us and our belief in him. Did you catch 21? We talked about verse 21 last week, I think. Remember the word abiding? Okay. Abiding. And while we're still there in John, flip over a few chapters. Chapter 20. I'm trying to instill this thought about our belief. And in Jesus 20, verse 31, well, 30 and 31.
And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Am I correct?
Yes.
But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
This is one of the themes that we haven't mentioned in 1 John. But the Gospel of John, you type in the word belief in the religion. Yeah, he writes a lot about belief, okay? Verse 31, volumes couldn't hold. But yet he wrote these things in his Gospels and his writings so that we may believe. Any other thoughts or comments while I look over?
Acts 8:37, and Philip was dealing with the demon, and he said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, which was obviously there was water with Henderson.
Yeah, everybody pick up on that. Acts 8:37. I was heading that way. Y'all doing good tonight.
I like it.
Okay. So there's an physical example that is given to us in the New Testament. Anything else?
One of the big things you're going to run into, Mark, is in the book of 1 John, you've already discussed it, I know. And that is, our denominational friends, when they see belief, they just see belief alone. And especially the text we opened up with that we're studying in the fifth chapter. That if you believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God, that's enough. That's it. That's all you have to do. That's the danger with not understanding what belief really is. There's such thing as an act. You know, that's what you were discussing with these verses. Faith that will, you know, with this faith you can be saved. Just faith alone doesn't save. Just like we've often talked about, just because I may believe this building's on fire, but just because I believe it doesn't mean I'm out of danger. Now, if I don't believe it, and that's what we've been reading all these verses, belief is the foundation of it all.
We'll get off on tangents on God is love, and love one another, and love our enemy, but you forget this basic principle of belief. Yes, it says step number two. I like that. What's in the order? We've got to hear the word, right? Okay. And hopefully, based on that, we have that belief system in place. And talking with individuals, what's next after belief? Before that,
repent.
Good, okay. You got to repent. You got to change direction. Then comes confession. And obviously the baptism there. And then it's just not left at that, is it not? After baptism, what do we need to be doing? Living that faithful life. It's just not, okay, I'm baptized, all with God's grace, covering my sins, but I keep on going. No, that's not. Repentance, we have to change course. Of course, we're baptized, and after that, in the newness of life, and then of course, Revelation 2:10, live faithfully until death. Thoughts, comments before we press on, because we're coming to the first question I asked y'all last week at the end of class. We are to observe His commandments. So that is in verse number 2. Name some of His commandments and then put a scripture with it. Okay? It can be what we do on Sunday. It can be what we do on life. I'll throw marriage out. Okay? We have to be married, right? Matthew 19. Then Romans 7. Commandment of marriage, the law of marriage. Okay, I'm thinking out of the box. I have right hand raised.
I have love thy Lord with all thy heart and soul. This is the first and great commandment, and second is to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Okay, you got a verse?
Matthew 22.
Okay.
Verse 37 through 40.
There's more. Yes, John 13:34, new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. Let's get away from John. Okay. What about Matthew 28:18-20? Making disciples. Make disciples.
Romans 12:15.
Okay. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Anything else? I got four or five more. No, I didn't hit on Sunday yet. We are to what? On Sunday when we come to worship. Sing. Okay, come to worship. Okay. You can see that's Hebrews 11:25 and then sing there. Ephesians 5:19, we're commanded to sing from our hearts.
Okay.
Lord's Supper. Contributions. See, so those acts are our commands. What else? Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. So, in our daily lives, to personify Jesus and God. what we talked about in the last week or two, if we have worldly goods and see our brother. Remember that? Better be going taking care of them.
Okay.
That's sin on our side.
Luke 18:20, honor thy father and thy mother.
Man, where's kids at? Well, let's think about that. Honoring father and mother, it's just not for kids. And our control? Yeah, that's bad. Still within our household? Now, can we still honor our parents if we're in a different household? If we're out and married, we can still have that honor. And it's a little bit different. We're not under their submission. We're in our separate household, but we still can honor them. And how do we honor them?
1 Timothy 5. If they need to be tended to, you look after them. Don't let the church be burdened.
Still give them the respect. We want our kids to give us our respect for us as parents. You know, still respect them. They've been on this earth probably longer than we have. Take care of their needs. Don't cart them off somewhere. Just have somebody else to look after them. Actually, us. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that one. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And these are just bullet points. Like that, they can be commanded. You know, starting with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything gives thanks. Do not quench the spirit. Going down to verse 21, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Again, a little bullet points, but there, isn't that not commands? I mean, think about it. So it's not just the general, it's the specific. Okay. Anything else? Again, just trying to get here in 1 John to think, observe his commands. Okay. But what are they? Okay, let's include some. Comments? Questions? Looking up something real quick. Come back to it, we'll press on. How difficult is God's command, though? Maybe a trick way.
Depends on the person.
Depends on the person, okay.
Depends on the command.
Depends on the command, John County, okay. And according to these verses, though, they're not burdensome, right?
Burdensome and difficult aren't necessarily the same thing.
There's my word I look for, difficult. Some are more difficult than others. As I said, verses 16 and 17 in this chapter, I'm still, it's not difficult for me. Others may think, well, it's not, it's not difficult for me. Some of those hard things, okay, they're not burdensome. Yes, Jesse.
They're all ultimately for our benefit in the end.
Now, if you want something that was burdensome, scholar says under the old law of Moses, the old law, there were 630 plus commandments, things that they had to do, that's burdensome compared to what we have to do. Compared to what we have to do. So, we have to have the mindset that, you know, God didn't give us anything that it's not hard to do. Okay? You think that? The world thinks so. You know, it's not hard to sing melody with our voices. Yeah, the world says what? Well, we gotta have a piano and organ, but you know, the feminine perversion of God. Don't have to be baptized. You know, God said, yeah, you know, here it is. It's not personal. Lays it out. Yeah, the world says, as long as that's what we talk about, believe or have the faith, you know, then one side is always saved. Yes, Daniel.
You're on that point of burdensome, you know, you hear that a lot in reference to taking the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis. Said a lot of people tell me, you know, they don't think they could do that every week, or it would lose meaning for them, you know, things like that. But you know, obligation is on our part to observe it and to keep the importance up there.
And that, when you're walled it up, that's the mindset. Can we not just get into a rut? Okay, we got to do it. But we have to prayer our mind for it, you know, on a weekly basis. This is a remembrance. Jesus. One of the things we have to do and go on. We need to be focusing on that event, on the cross, what he's done. Anything else?
Well, I think, you know, from a Christian standpoint, Lord's Supper, pretty easy. Praying for those who persecute me, harder. You know, I mean, there are obviously degrees within all that, but the bottom line, you guys already studied it probably a few weeks ago, but the 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 is, I write these things if you sin not. None of us can ever say, well, we had to sin. All these commands that God gave us, you say, well, they're good for us. Yes, they are. Can we resist? Yes, we can. Do we? No. You know, we don't resist them all. We should. We should increase our faith.
Good, thank you. Anybody before we move on? Well, that's the question if we got to the verse yet. Okay, verse 4. How are we born of God? Verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He is one born of God. Or am I totally off base?
No, I'm way ahead of this.
Looking for the how. Any thoughts? That's why I pulled out. When you're baptized, you're a child of God. You're born of God. Make sense? Am I totally off, or is there another path that we can take as well? Born of God, we're children of God through baptism, which means that we have to have that belief, that faith, obedience, right? It's just not having to go through the motion. You have that obedient faith and belief.
How can we be born and not be born again, Mark? I mean, that's right.
I mean, John 3.
And yeah, anytime you see the word born, you know.
Yeah. And based on that, what is our victory?
Salvation.
Keep going in the verse. What overcomes the world?
Our faith.
Okay. So we're born God, salvation, our faith. And how important is that in all this? It's up. Okay, it is. Four verses, we have two key components of salvation, belief and faith. Okay.
How
is belief and faith different? I got my word, I've got a thought process before I speak. You can have faith in the wrong thing. Okay. Or is it different?
It's a tough question, but here's maybe not a good analogy, but here's the thing. You can really believe drunk driving is a bad thing, but you really, truly believe it. You understand what I'm saying? Because people do it all the time, and they know it. So it's not like they don't know it. They just don't really, truly believe it. They don't have the faith in their belief that certain things will harm you or help you, whatever it is. It has to do with having our way. You got to have the faith. You got to believe in order to have the faith. But you got to have the faith to believe. The two go together.
So are they the same? Can one be interchanged for the other? Nikki?
I feel like
and this is just maybe how I perceive it, but I kind of feel like faith tends to have a little bit more like an intimacy to it. Because it says that even the demons believed and trembled, but they didn't have that relationship with God that I feel like faith kind of implies, I guess.
But he didn't say, unless you have faith in me, you'll die in your sin. Unless you believe in me. You know, I don't see a difference, but to agree with the concept, obviously there is there's the Bible describes as a weak faith, there's a dead faith, there is a, you know, a strong faith.
Wasn't somewhere where they were sent out, Jesus sent out and they came back with reports and they say, well, you know, we heard this person over here
talking about what they were teaching.
Yeah. I know what's in the Bible. I know what's in the New Testament. But they came back with reports and said, well, leave them, you know, Jesus said, leave them alone. But at least they are talking about him and what he is teaching. I can't, you know. Okay, next week question, research, we'll find. Anything else? But what is faith, really? What is, what's a good working definition?
A conviction of truth. Conviction of truth. Substance of things.
Yes. Yeah.
Centuries of things.
Hey, hey. Not
you to have that obedience in there.
Thoughts or comments? I know Will's turning out there. I'll see him. CJ, okay.
Mine's turning. So back to this believe in faith.
Okay.
Like I'm kind of hung up on that. I feel like to believe something, like we can believe that this is the written word of God because we have the history to prove it, the fact that it doesn't contradict itself, it was written in several languages. I mean, we can study that fact and believe it. But I think that faith is different because we have to have the faith that there is a heaven. We can't study that. We can't see it. We can't prove it. We have to have the faith there that does exist. Am I on the right track there?
If I can go back to the steps, what? You hear? Seen that faith? Then believe?
There's a progression of order. Hear, believe. Faith, faith was active. Faith was active.
Yeah.
Okay, so seems like to me that you have to have a belief level there for the faith to get it. I'm not wrong.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Correct me. Well, there's just too many passages that says that if you believe you'll be saved, if you have faith you'll be saved. They use them interchangeably. I think that we're, you know, maybe arguing over some things here, you know.
Are they interchangeable?
And they have been used interchangeable as the point within the scriptures. They did.
So clear as mud. And again, it's based on time.
I mean, we would say, okay, the demons, did they have faith? No, they just believed in Trump, but they didn't have faith. Well, what do you mean? Did they believe in? Yeah, they did, but they didn't follow him. What do you call that? A dead faith. That's dead. They're not active in following it through,
right?
Which we need to make sure we don't.
Warren Bush, just as I told him, doubting Thomas, he approached Jesus. I won't believe him. I feel the scar. Again, so what do you call that?
Doubting faith.
Hey, well, I mean, well, yeah. I mean, he'd already seen the miracles. And he'd seen these things, obviously. But yet, he wasn't willing to say he had to be convinced. And maybe that's okay. But I'm saying there was a place there that he wasn't truly altogether 100% convinced.
How many times does you say ye have little faith or increase your faith? Anything else before we press on? Okay, let's get back. Let's go with verses 5 through 12. I'm not sure where we ended up at in the week. A couple of verses apiece.
verses 5 through 12.
Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
So there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son.
He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
What three things testify about Jesus?
That what, the Spirit, okay.
The Word.
What? Or something else?
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. It's three. Any other three?
Well, verse 8 says the Spirit, the water, and the blood testify.
Okay. What is this water and blood thing? Or why would the inspired writer John put it in a verse within this context? Water and blood, remember when he was crucified? How do they assure that he was dead? Did they break the legs?
No.
They heard somebody say, pierce his side. They were watching for. Right there in front of the pit.
Maybe when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. With the witnesses to who he was.
Right. Also, if we take that route, we have the event there on the Mount of Transfiguration. In looking, and why he included inspired writer through the Holy Spirit, you know, had it written down. If you look at the Gospel of John, I think in maybe verse or chapter 4 or 5 back there, we went through a series of witnesses. You know, we're in the court of law, you know, so John was writing, okay, here's the witness of the Father, witness of the Word, witness. I get that same context or same conception here, too. Hey, we got three to testify, here's my testimony. Okay. Questions or comments? What about the testimony of men versus God? Which is greater? Okay. Hopefully that's obvious. Okay. From God, okay. From God. And how is it greater? Well, how would it be greater? It says right there in verse 9. The testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. So if we go back into the ministry of Jesus and look at his life, in particular, you know, the Gospel of John, he's telling his folks, Mount of Transfiguration, what did he say? This is my beloved Son. Here's in him. Okay, a little bit different from the time he was baptized. Hebrews 1:1, 2, and 3. Okay. We get the sense that, I think within these verses, that we need to be looking at scriptures and what God says versus what man says, right? I mean, what all religions out there that, well, this is what this person said or that person said, and they got totally away
with a different gospel. 2 John 9, which we'll go to. Go to Galatians 1, 6 through 9. We've had lessons up here about people sayings and things of that nature. Remember one of the things, themes in the Bible that he was trying to, Gnosticism, okay, he was trying to refute Gnosticism throughout this, okay. Gnosticism, the knowledge part, they were out seeking knowledge. Paul at Athens, Acts chapter 17, you know, we walked around and saw the altar of an unknown God. Again, they were looking at knowledge, so Apostle John here is trying to refute that. He's saying, hey, you know, you don't need to be looking at man, you need to be looking at God, what he's saying, and what he has said. Remember, this was written in the late 90s. Okay. A lot of these letters may have been already passed around, recopied, and passed, and everything, so knowledge will come back. Given this context that it's in, where else is similar language that John uses in verse 13? In the action, well, we didn't get to verse 13 yet. Any other things in 5 through 12? So what is the condition of the person who does not believe in God?
I understand.
What else?
He's made him a liar.
Made him a liar. And what do we know about liars? And they don't repent. Definitely won't get a place in heaven. Okay. The devil's handiwork. Verse 12, can't overlook yet. I didn't have a question on it. He who has the Son has life. He does not have the Son, does not have life. That's pretty basic. Either in Christ or you're not in Christ. In Christ you have life. How else is Jesus described in John? Whether in 1 John or the Gospel of John, he is life. Okay. Other passages, I am the life. The light. The one comes through the Father, but through me. Now we'll get to verse 13. No. We'll hit this pretty. No. 13, 14, and 15, and then we'll leave the biblical passage next week for myself. So I have another week to look at. Not sure where we end it. 1 John 13:5-15.
I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him.
Okay, now I can ask my question on verse 13. Where else similar language is used by John in his writing? His writing, you know, the five books. Something that's similar. I brought it up tonight already. 20?
30 and
30. Okay. Something similar. Okay, that you brought up, just kind of a side note. Then he talks about the belief there. But he also talks in the next verse about this confidence. What about this confidence? Have we seen it before? And what is confidence? The other version may use boldness. So what do we know so far about confidence? Well, we better have the confidence on this side of eternity, because if we don't, we need to know where we're going to stand on the day of judgment. Do we have that confidence? Do we have that boldness? Do we have that assurance?
Confidence is born of fear is free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, boldness, and assurance.
I like what he's doing here, Mark, trying to give his brethren the assurance, the confidence that you're talking about. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe. So I'm not writing to you to try to get you to believe. That's, you know, the John 12 or 20 you mentioned, these things are written that you might believe. Well, these things that he's writing to them, I'm writing to you people who already believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, you got to have confidence. I'm trying to build you guys up to have that assurance of this eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in him. So don't fall away. You know, the temptations that these brethren are facing by the Gnostics that you were talking about, the unbelievers. Stay strong, be faithful, stay the course. We can have that confidence in him.
And I found my verse that we had it many weeks ago. Chapter 2, verse 38. Now, Lord, children, abide in him. Again, there's that abiding, so that when you he appears, that you may have the confidence, and there's that conjunction, not shirk away from him in the shame at his coming. Also in chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have the confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, we have that confidence. What about the next verse in 15 in this chapter? What we do when we make a request? Here is it? Okay.
There's
a condition to him. He only hears us if you make a request to him to his love. Okay. He doesn't just hear heaven and enough. Yeah. If it's not according to his love, then a couple things against what he wants for us to
consider.
What would be one thing that would hinder him
from
hearing us on our part?
Righteousness.
Yeah. Now, if we confess our sins, we have an advocate, correct? We need to go and confess our sins to him. It's that unknowing, unwilling sin. Hey, well, I know what sin, but I'm not willing to. Will you hear our prayers then? If we know that we've sinned, but yet we're unwilling to. Does that make sense? Again, the avenue of prayer is so vital, a resource for us in this life. I mean, it is, as we read tonight, we need to have that mindset, that attitude of being prayerful throughout the course of the day. Tough decision today at work. Okay? When I was going through it, this little short one, hey, help me through this. Hey, went off for a minute. Didn't have my head chopped off, and the other person was very receptive, and we went on our happy go way, and everything's good. But hey, again, the importance of prayer. I can't talk enough about it at this point. That's a whole other lesson. Now, if we ask, what about his answer? It's his will, when he wants to do it, on his time frame, if ever it may happen, you know, you have to leave it in his hands.
But sometimes no answer is asked.
Exactly. And that's something we need to comprehend. You know, he didn't answer me, I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to ask him. Well, come on, let's think about it. And that's what the world thinks. Well, he didn't answer me to this. Even though that's his answer. Or they just pray in times of what? Trouble. Peace. Good times? They don't. Now, a lot of apply that to us today, and we'll end the class. We need to be praying good times, bad times, this time, you know, and let him, you know, thank you for it. Thank you very much for the participation. We're going to have to spend some time in verses 16 and 17 next week.
We're good to go.
Are you in that pocket, Kevin?
Where are the song leaders supposed to do it?
Yeah, come on, that's the rule.
Do you need to find one?
I was going back to the thing in the whole time.